How is everybody tonight? I hope you're doing well. Welcome to Sierra Community Church. We're glad to have you here with us tonight. We have kind of a special night tonight. If you were here last week, I went long. I was about 50 minutes last week, and to make up for it, I'm only going to be 15 minutes tonight for you. So we're going to spend some time hanging out together and walking around and seeing what some of the different ministries that happen here on a regular week are. So we'll that's why we have the ministry fair set up back there. So give you some time to interact with that stuff. A couple of announcements for you real quick. If there are any kids left in here, we do have a children's program, and kids are welcome to head downstairs if they want to go down there and get started with that. Men's breakfast is this next Saturday morning from 7:30 to 8:30. And if you're a man and you're interested in coming and you have not yet signed up, there is a men's breakfast. There's a men's ministry table as you go back to the very far back left-hand corner, and you can sign up and let them know you're coming. And if you've never come before, we'd love to have you come. It'd be a great opportunity for us to get to know you. So we'd love to have you come if you have not attended one before. So let's pray, and we'll get started together tonight. Father, thanks for the opportunity just to gather together like this. And it's really a pretty awesome opportunity on a night like this to think about all the different things that you're doing in the midst of this church and through the people here. And so, God, thanks for what you're doing and how you're bringing glory and honor to yourself through the ministries that are happening here. And God, also, I recognize tonight that there's a reality that we enjoy a privilege of being able to get together and worship like this in freedom, and we really don't worry about persecution the way a lot of people in the world who do gather together in your name to read the Bible and to talk and pray, that they don't have the same freedoms that we enjoy. And so tonight, God, we lift up a prayer for the persecuted church and people that don't have the freedoms that we do, and ask, Lord, that you would bless and protect your people that are gathering in your name all around the world. And we say with thanksgiving, Lord, thank you for the freedom that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be reading tonight from there. We're going to read verses 12 through 27 together. And if you don't have your Bible with you tonight, you can, I'm sure you can share with somebody nearby. And if you don't have a Bible at all, when you leave tonight, there's a little table on the right-hand side when you walk out that has Bibles on it, and they're available to you for a small donation. And if you don't have the money for donation, we'd just assume you take one if you don't have one. So please make sure you grab one of those if you don't have one. So let's read through this tonight, and we'll spend just a couple minutes talking about it. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that all its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is an excerpt from Paul's letters. And it's from 1 Corinthians, and the church in Corinth was a group of people that he had a real special affection for. of all of the people that that Paul ministered to in his travels. He spent a year and a half with the people in Corinth, and yet it was not without it was not always an easy relationship. In fact, as we read through here, this letter is Paul's strongest rebuke of any of his letters that he writes because of the issues that were happening there. Some of the things that he deals with in this letter, in the first chapter, he talks about factions that had broken out. People were getting together and some of the people were saying, well, I follow Apollos. And other people were saying, well, I follow Cephas. And other people were saying, that's Peter. And other people were saying, well, I follow Paul. And he says, who is it we ought to be following, which is Christ himself. The funny thing is I was telling the other services, I don't think this is an old phenomenon. I think that it's very much alive today. I think that if people could call the church and find out who was preaching on Sunday, and they find out that Noah was preaching, they'd go, I follow Dan and John. You know, attendance would be a little lower. I think that this is still a phenomenon we struggle with in our own, it's alive today, 2,000 years later in our lives. But there were these factions in this church, and Paul says that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be one body, united behind the person of Jesus Christ, not these different individuals. He rebukes them because there's these immoral practices that have taken root in the church that aren't being confronted and are being allowed to fester, and they're not dealing with them with church discipline the way he outlined them to. There's abuses even when they get together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, that they're not doing it in a manner worthy of the dinner that they're supposed to be celebrating. And there certainly is, as we read in this chapter, there is an immaturity about the spiritual gifts that the people have been given. And that's really what Paul is addressing here in this part of chapter 12. See, people in the church, and this is true of us today too, have been given different, unique abilities. Every one of us is created. We are the handiwork of God, knitted together by Him. And each one of us is unique in our own capacities. I love what it says in verse 18 here. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Don't ever complain that you're not like someone else, because you are God's unique craftsmanship. He created you to be just the person you are, just to play the part in His body that He's designed for you to do. So in here, Paul is saying, he says to the people, he says that these gifts that the people were given weren't meant to bring attention to the individuals using them, but to benefit the body as a whole. See, it was about a team, and each person plays its part on the team. He uses this illustration of the human body here, and it's one of Paul's most detailed illustrations that he uses. Paul is not big on the whole drawing people in with stories stuff. You know, like you come to church and generally we'll start with kind of some silly joke or video or something, and then as we go on through the message, we like to take a minute and kind of draw you in by sharing personal stories that might relate to the point that we're making. Paul wasn't real big on that. Paul just sort of cut to the chase when you read his letters. This is Paul's, it's his second longest illustration that he uses to make a point. And his point here is obvious, isn't he? He says it again and again and again. The body is made up of many parts, but they all work together to form one body, right? And the reality in here, and I love this, is that, and you can see this in nature too, that God loves diversity, doesn't he? I don't know if any of you have ever seen the Discovery Channel. You've seen the series that they did, Planet Earth. And I don't know how you can watch that and not recognize that God is a God who loves diversity. Anytime you get together in a group like this, you can see that each one of us is uniquely gifted in different ways. We each have different talents, each have different passions. And God loves that. God didn't create us all to be exactly alike. I grew up in Monterey, California, and I lived there for 19 years. And the first place I moved away from Monterey was to Phoenix, Arizona. You can't get two more diametrically opposed places, can you? You know, Monterey is perpetually 55 to 65 degrees. It has one season all year round. Phoenix also has sort of one season. Hot all the time, right? You can't get two more different places, but even in that, you sense and you understand God is all about diversity. He loves the way you created you. He loves the fact that you're different from your, you know, like I have three little boys, and I look at them and I think, how did these three little boys come from the same mother and father? How can they be so different? God loves diversity. He loves the way he created you. He loves the passions and the unique abilities that he has given you. It all serves a purpose. What is that purpose that we work together for? We work for him, don't we? We work for something bigger than ourselves. We work for God, and we work for his plans, and ultimately we work for his glory. That's why he's given us these different things. That's what it means to be a part of the body here at Sierra. Every person uniquely gifted by God, using their abilities and passions as part of the body. I hope that over the last 3 weeks, as we've talked about the purpose of the local church and what it means to belong to the local church, I hope we've painted a compelling picture for you that says God has designed you to live and work and serve together here in this body. And so Paul sums up this section that we read tonight really well. He says, now you, and I think we could stretch this out to saying this for us as well today, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you in this room who knows Jesus Christ is a part of it, right? And so that's what we're going to do tonight for the rest of the night, is I want you to think about what your part in the body is. What part do you play? Particularly thinking about here at Sierra. So we have tonight the setup, this ministry fair with some refreshments, and I think there's 19 different at the tables, 19 different ministries that are representative of things that happen during an average week and some during the year here at the church. And it's an opportunity for you to learn a little bit about it, but also for you to engage yourself and think about where you might serve. So three questions you might ask yourself tonight as you walk around and look at these different things. The first one is where can I get involved? I know there's probably a lot of people that come here and just come on Sundays, but don't necessarily have a bigger commitment to what happens here during the week. I want you to think just for a minute. I think that what do we average here, Charlie? 600 to 700 people, right, on an average Sunday? I just want you to think about this for a minute. I didn't share this with any of the other services, but I've got a minute, so I'm going to do it. What would it look like? What would it look like if we had 600 committed people committed to serving and making the programs here at Sierra the best they could be, working together, committed to making the ministries that we do here that benefit this community the best that they could be? What could an army of 600 people united together, working for something bigger than themselves, what difference could we make not only in this church and benefit one another, but what kind of difference could we make in South Lake Tahoe for God if we took that seriously? I think it would be incredible. So I challenge you tonight to think about as you walk around and just even on what happens here during the week. Where can I get involved with what this church is already doing? And these are certainly some opportunities for you to do that. I know also that there is a lot of you in this room that represent people that give a lot of their time in their lives, sacrifice time away from their families, cut hours out of work to be a part of the ministries here. And I hope that even you will be blessed and benefit just from walking around, be reminded of all the things that happen here during the week. And I hope that you'll make a commitment to remember to pray for the people and things that are happening here during the week. And lastly, you might ask yourself tonight, also as you walk around there, maybe you have a passion of a ministry that you would really like to champion, something that you would like to own and lead and help develop that could bless this body or the people here in South Lake Tahoe. We would love to talk with you about how we could partner together and pool our resources to start something new. So if you have a vision or an idea, even something you'd just like to talk with us about, Pastor Dan and I will be up here during this next however long we have tonight, and we'd be happy to talk with you. Anybody who just wants to pray will be up here to pray with you and talk with you. But if you have an idea of something you'd like to champion, please come and talk to us. We'd love to have you come to one of our elders' meetings on Thursday nights and talk about it, how we could work together to start something new. So thanks for coming tonight. I hope you have a great time just enjoying talking with one another and seeing some of what goes on during the week. I know there's some refreshments back there also. So let me pray, and I'll let you spend time together. God, thanks for just the opportunity to talk tonight, this picture of the body. Paul says he doesn't want to destroy our uniqueness. In fact, the opposite is true. He wants to celebrate the reality that God loves diversity and has created each of us differently with different passions and desires. And yet those passions and desires and those unique abilities we have aren't to draw attention to ourselves, but it's so that we can work to bless each other and bless other people, work for something bigger than ourselves. And so, God, help us tonight just to think about what that means and what that looks like in this body and as we serve this community. In Jesus' name, amen.